Praise God. Please take your seats. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans? Hallelujah to Jesus forever. How many of you, 2019 is going well? Was it just me, or did January just fly by? Usually January drags, doesn't it? Like you're 6 weeks into January, and then you open your eyes to look at your calendar, and it's the 15th. But this time it was like the 5th of January, and now it's February. Isn't that weird the way that time does those kind of things? Maybe it will be a very slow February, who knows? But I know that God is going to do some awesome stuff in the mighty name of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, and I just want to read just a very quick couple of verses from this scripture. Because I want the title of my message today is called The Box. The Box. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, get out of the box. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Thank you, Lord, for your word today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to read it to you real quick from the NIV. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Another translation, the NLT says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. And then there's a few, do not be conformed, etc., etc., etc. There's one translation, it says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. I like that. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. You know, the world has a way of, do you know what profiling is? Okay, profiling, let me give you a few examples. Okay. Knife crime is committed by, usually on the, particularly on the streets, is committed by a particular type of age, a particular type of ethnicity, a particular type of demography. Tax fraud is committed by a particular age, a particular type of ethnicity, and a particular type of demography, right? Now, that's what's called profiling. People can be profiled according to race. They can be profiled according to ethnic background, religious upbringing. There's all kinds of ways that the world has of identifying and profiling people. People who work in the recruitment industry will tell us that the first minute of an interview is usually that which determines the outcome of that interview. Isn't that interesting? How many of you, you've been in an interview and it's lasted only a minute? Very few of us. Because they want to, you know, there's a process. But in the back of your mind, there is already the answer to whether you've got the job or not. I remember this in my own life, where I was going for a job at one of the big four banks. And you know, things weren't great. I was 40 minutes late for the job because there was a tube strike, and I had to get across town. The interview was in Monument, which is like a subdivision of Bank Station, and I had to come all the way from Green Park. And I was legging it. I was exhausted. I was sweating. It was July. I had this cheap suit on me, like a 20-quid suit from... Do you remember CNA? Yeah, they went bust. It was one of their suits. And it was just one of those horror situations. I ran up. I was so desperate to get up the stairs to this job interview, because back then there was no escalators at Monument. So I'm running up the stairs, and I didn't know this, but as I'm running, dust, you know that horrible black dust that gathers on the tube? You know, it goes in your nose. Have you seen that where if you wash your nose out after being in the tube and your sink goes just dark gray and black? It's disgusting stuff. And it was all gathering on my hands, and I was hot, and I'd wipe my face like this. I was 40 minutes late for the job interview. And they must have thought, what on earth is this? And of course, I didn't know because I hadn't looked in the mirror. I came straight out of the tube station into the interview, and I'm sitting there with these guys, and they said, well, why have you wanted to work for... And I said, oh, well, I've always wanted to work in finance and blah, blah, blah. It was terrible. And they said, well, you know, how would you aim to get here? You know, there's a tube strike on. And I said, oh, well, it's only 40 minutes by bike from my house. And the guy said, oh, you cycle? I hadn't been on a bike since I was 10. He says, and his eyes lit up. He said, oh, you cycle? I went, Well, I wasn't going to say no, was I? And I couldn't say yes. So I went, And he said, oh, okay, wonderful. And I saw him tick a little box at the bottom of the thing and left it at that. But I mean, you talk about a train wreck of an interview, and yet somehow got, and I got the job. Quite remarkable. But you see, now, you couldn't blame them, right? But I guarantee you, their mind was firmly made up in the first minute of the interview. This grey cheap suit. I didn't even know you had to wear a belt with a suit back then. So I got there, and my trousers looking all stupid. And it's like, literally, I mean, the suit was $29.99 from C&A in Wood Green. I bought it. I paid for it. Lord Jesus. And it was that much of a disaster. But the point I'm making is there's all kinds of decisions and judgments that we make on people in the first few seconds of meeting them. We are all profilers. Like it or not, we are all profilers, right? Now, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me concerning this particular passage of Scripture, particularly when I read that translation that said, do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold, right? There is a mold that when you mention you're a Christian, there is all kinds of stuff that goes off in a person's mind. No matter what they've known about you up until then, it's like, oh. Do you know what I mean? It can be that way, right? And that is because we have often allowed ourselves to be injection molded into the world's idea of what a Christian is. It's very interesting subject. And we, in life, if we're going to get where God wants us to be, we've got to break out of that mold. We've got to break out the box. There is something that God has for us to do that will it's necessary for us to break that mold and to break that box. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, break out of the box. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we have a pattern. In fact, let me borrow some. Ralph, can I borrow you? Is that all right? I needed someone that was smaller than my daughter. So, sorry, I'm joking. That was a cold joke, wasn't it? Praise God. Talk about profiling. Let me just put this down for a second. Okay. Now, can you see no expense was spared in the construction of this example? Great. Now, this is the box. This is the profile of... Isn't he great? And he's even standing still and you're not worried, Ralph, what's coming next. You can't even see what I'm doing now. Okay. Now, I want you to shout out to me what sort of things that people will profile about you. Anyone? Say? Your figure. Sorry? Bigot. Oh, no. What I mean about it now is in general. General profiling. So, say again. Okay. So, you're a Christian, which means you're happy clappy. Is there? Good one. Huh? Bible basher. Great. Great. Brainwashed, somebody said. Yeah, you ever had that? Okay. Narrow-minded. Ooh. Okay. Narrow-minded. No life. I've had that one before. Boring. Hypocrite. Extremist. Great. Religious. Say again, anyone else? Fanatic. Fanatic, is that what you said? Holy Joe, yeah. Fundamentalist. Red Devil. Okay. Now let's do this as well. Ethnicity. That can be a major profiling thing. Some particular cultures, you tell somebody you're Nigerian or you're Somalian or whatever, there's an instant 100-page download of the profile that you could be from. That's just the way it is. Even certain places in Eastern Europe, if you're Romanian, you're a gangster. If you're Albanian, you're a gangster. This is a true story. A friend of Peter Hazan, everyone knows Peter. Friend of Peter Hazan's was visiting London. He's a preacher, Pastor Paulin, his name is, from Tirana in Albania. He was visiting London for a conference that we were hosting in Wembley Arena, and he was down the West End with his wife in Chinatown having dinner. He sat down to dinner, and sorry, I've not forgotten you, Ralph. You're there. Okay, good one. Okay. He sat down to dinner with his wife, and he found a packet, like a package, beside him on the seat. He opened it up, and there was 800 quid in cash, and there was all sorts of drugs, amphetamines, and weed, and God knows what, you know? So he zipped the thing up. He said, I found out where the nearest police station was on his phone, and he took it to the police. The policeman behind the counter, who processed the thing, asked him the story three times, because he nearly collapsed, because there was an Albanian who, number one, wasn't a criminal, number two, was handing in drugs and cash into the police station. True story. He said, I've never seen anything like this in my career, and he's shaking his head like this behind the counter in the police station. Why? Because there's a profile. We're built that way. And the Bible says that there's a profile of Christianity that we have to break. There's a mold that we have to break. We have to be, what does the Bible call us, you see? The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. The lenders to many nations and not the borrowers. The blessed and not the cursed. The well and not the sick. The rich and not the poor, etc., etc., right? But there's this box that the devil, as long as, and this is what I wanted to get across to you today, as long as we can be boxed, then we can be neutralized. And the enemy wants us neutralized. There's a profile of what a Christian is. And then there's a profile of what an evangelical is or a charismatic. And then the Pentecostals, we're the loony end. If you're a Pentecostal, you've got mental issues, mate. That's just the way it is. Do you see what I mean? But where has all this come from? Where has this stuff come from? Yeah, but you see, right, okay. So the accuser of the brethren, how is he getting his message across? I'm sharing this today because you remember what God said to us at the beginning of the year. Cultural change begins at the altar of God. And part of cultural change is that we break out of the box. Now you can imagine, you know my background, you know my testimony, most of you here. You know my testimony, you know my life story. How many boxes did I have to break out of? And then I'd go to church services and I'd see so many people in these boxes and I would think, dear Jesus, deliver your body, Lord. Like, you know, it was like, wow. I thought, honestly, there was one stage where I thought that God was going to gather all the Christians, like all the people that he hated, and put them in church and then throw them into hell first and then rescue the world. That's how bad it was when I first became a Christian. The only people that were Christians were either you had the hat brigade. You remember them? I mean, hats so sharp. Lord have mercy. Like razor sharp hats that were on the Sunday. And they'd all be in a minibus. You know the minibus? The Ford Transit. And there'd always be brother so-and-so behind the wheel. And he'd have the pork pie hat on. And he'd be driving. Hey, hear me. And he'd be... I'm kidding. He gives us so much jip because he's a Chelsea fan. I had to throw that one in. And he'd be driving down the road. And then, there'd be Sister Delia, who's his wife or whatever. And she'd have the skirt down to here and no makeup. And, you know, where's your wife when I need her, you? And she tells that story so well. She got rescued out of that thing. And, you know, it was like this kind of like ghetto subculture of life. And it was like, wow. I said, wow, the devil has successfully boxed us in. And I thought, you know what? I said, God, how do we do it? What's the key word here for us to succeed, for us to excel? And the Lord said this. He said, keep them guessing. Keep them guessing. I mean, we pray, we do. Thank God. I'm one of the biggest tambourine players. Are you all right there, mate?
Yeah.
I'm one of the biggest tambourine bangers in the house. But it's not like, I guarantee I can play a tambourine funky, mate. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to have these like tassels. You remember the tambourines with tassels? Did you have one, Roro? I said that and Roro ducked her head like, as if to say, do you remember them? Tambourines with tassels, and then you go in a building and it would be all like something had been preserved, like a museum out of the 1960s. And like no one had ever tidied up the church buildings. You go in there and there'd be sweet wrappers from like 1954 on the floor still. Like, do you remember refreshers? And there'd be like refresher wrappers on the floor and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, you know, what does the scripture say? Oh Lord, thou, oh Lord, how excellent your name is. And we had to bust that whole mold. What are we doing? We're breaking out of the box. We're breaking out of the box. You see, there is a certain earnings capability. There's a certain earnings capability attached with being in the box that we can do. I want to provoke you today to changing and breaking out of the box to the extent that people cut like, wow, you know, what is it about you? You say you're a Christian, but you don't carry any of the bad DNA. It's just the good stuff. It's just the stuff. It's like you're radiating something, and I can't quite tell what it is. You know, there's a spirit of excellence that God wants us to have that can smash all this stuff. Now, dude, how are you going to get out of the box? You see, this is a really, really important thing. To break out the box, number one, he's going to have to do some changing on the inside of him, right? Look what it says. It says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Okay, well, look, how do I get transformed? How do I get from the box to the person that God's called me to be? The person that really rises, the person that really excels, the kind of things that's against you. Also, another one that we haven't put up here is background. Huh? Yes, even the box is talking to me now. Education. I'm loving this. I hope you're liking this as much as me. Background, education. Here's a great one for those of you in the US. Zip code or postcode. Huh? I remember I would fill out forms and stuff like that when I lived in N15. And the moment you put N15 on the form, they think, okay, next customer, please. It's true. You remember those things? How are we gonna break clear of this? How are we gonna break clear? It says it there. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation happens by the renewing of your mind. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, break out of the box. You think about what God has told us this year already, right? It's the year of new beginnings, okay? He's already told us that cultural change begins at the altar of God. So there is an ability this year to break free from every restriction, whether true or not. Because for some of these just aren't true. Right? I can guarantee you that my background, my upbringing was worse than a lot of yours here. Absolutely. I mean, I didn't know there was a middle class until I was 18 and a communist told me. I mean, let that sink in, dude. Let that sink in. Let me boast for a second. Auntie Faith and Uncle Dixon, it's their wedding anniversary this week, but I just want to borrow Auntie Faith just for a second. And in fact, Dixon, you come up as well, please. I just want to boast on this couple for a while. And it's actually really, it's on your children that I'm boasting as well. I want to share as well, her mum went to be with the Lord this week, so we need to keep her in prayer, Auntie Faith. You remember Auntie Faith's mum? Very, very sweet lady. And you're in our prayers for that, and we love you, and we're supporting you in prayer. And I know Ibby's been around, and some of the other harvesters. But I just want to boast on the children for a while, because they have three children, and they're in the Guinness Book of Records, right? Yeah. Brother D. Mm. Yeah. Shit, what are they in the Guinness Book of Records for?
They are all, the three of them are albinos. So they reckon when we had them that they've never seen three albino in one family, and that's why we're in Guinness Book of Records.
Isn't that amazing? Now, your children, they were bullied at school. They were the taking the mickey out of and everything like that. And it was I could tell from when they were telling their story, because Channel 4 did a documentary about them, and you could tell that, you know, the just the stuff that they'd gone through at school with, you know school, it can be a wicked place sometime. And did they ever come home and share anything with you or anything like that?
They did, sometimes they did. Mm-hmm. And you know, when they do share something, you know, the important thing is for you to believe what they're telling you and to support them, because nobody's supporting them in school. Mm. So if they come home and you don't support them as well, then they're in the loop.
Right.
So when they come and we go back to school, asking the school to intervene,
wow,
with what has happened to them.
Wow.
And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Uh-huh. But most of the time, when you insist, they do.
Right.
Do something.
Right. Yeah. And what was that like for you guys as parents, watching your kids go through stuff like that?
It was very difficult, because I remember an incident. We were traveling to Orlando, and someone called me. Was saying, "Is that your child?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, he looks different." I said, "Is that your mom? Is that the mom?" I said, "Yes." I mean. Things like that, it's a bit embarrassing, but then we have to get used to it.
Right, right. But here's the thing now, right? Their youngest, Osamu? He's middle. Their middle child is now the one of the faces of Primark. And he's done some shoots that have ended up in the Financial Times magazine. For those, how many FT readers in the house? Three, five. If I ask how many Daily Mail readers, you see, exactly. Wait there 1 second. Where do you think a lot of this nonsense comes from? It's from the media labeling us as freaks and lunatics and all sorts of stuff like that. Amazing. I break that stronghold in the name of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. But now, you see, their son, Osamor, the very thing, his looks, you think about this, the very thing that the devil used to taunt him and to try and wound him has now become a major, I mean, he's what, 20? How old is he?
23.
He's 23 and he's got an agent. Anyone here got an, I want an agent. Any agents in the house? Anyone? I mean, the dude is excelling. Their oldest son, Ayo, is DJing on, BBC something or other?
Presenter, the West Side Radio.
Wonderful. Praise God. And Tanuka, you know, she's going to break through by God's grace in the music arena. Can you put your hands together for this dear couple? Thank you. Now, can you imagine? Here's an example of what I'm sharing with you today. Can you imagine if Osamor had thought to himself, you know what, I could never do, my color and my face has been a source of shame and embarrassment for me personally. The devil has wounded me. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I can't go into, somebody wants me to be modeling for them. It's just not going to happen. Can you imagine if he had done that? Where would he be now? Who knows? He'd be doing some, you know, other thing and the world would be lacking. Are you still all right? Wow. I was expecting him to keel over and I'll just catch him, you know, and carry on preaching. But you see, this is the thing. Let's put it here. Our looks. That's a major, major thing that the enemy tried to try and push him into the box. And you know what? Thank God for the culture of them raising their kids in their home. They haven't even been told that there is a box. Do you get what I'm saying? Because, you see, in Christ, right, in Christ, there is no box. There is no limitation. There's no limit. We are only limited by how many excuses we can create. And I can't find excuses in the Word of God. I can't find can't do. This is can-do Christianity. This is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am going to achieve what God has called me to do. I don't care how many of these things work against me. I am going to fight. I am going to push. I am going to pray. I'm going to do it God's way. I know, for instance, right? I know, for instance, that I have given my way out of poverty. I know it for a fact. I know that I have prayed and believed my way out of sickness. I know that somehow I have, what was it, Lord? I have believed my way out of stupidness. That's the only way I can describe it. Two O-levels, stupid. That's it. Two O-levels, N15 postcode, Irish father, forget it. Right off. Do you get what I'm saying? How many excuses could we come up with? How many people could I blame? You know, this blame culture, you see it in the media all the time now, where somebody else is to blame for the way I am. And you know, that's just not true. Amen. We are now. Here's a great thing, right? Junior, let me borrow you for a second. How many of you know that our God is bigger than Junior? How many of you would think that it would take less than 10 seconds for Junior to completely release Ralph from those boxes? Go easy on him now, Jay. Praise God. Okay, let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right, about 4.8 seconds, right? Thank you, brothers. You can take your seats. Now, this is the point I'm making. With God on my side, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? If the word of God is on my side and pushing me, and not only that, but not only does the word support you, but it pushes you from behind. I'll never forget a baby dedication I did. Fred Agbi. He's a Yoruba man? Is he? Oh, he's Igbo. Okay. Well, he gave his daughter, or was it Terry? I can't remember now. But it was one of the dedications I did, Fred Agbi. And he named his daughter, one of the names, you know, like in the Nigerian culture, your name can go on for quite some time. Am I telling the truth? But I'll never forget, he named his daughter Oluwatimilayin. Right? And it means this, my God is pushing me from behind. And for some reason, how long ago is that now? She must be 22, 23 years old. Early days of Harvest. But for some reason, that name stuck in my mind when she was being dedicated. Because that's how I felt at the time. Is that, wow, you know what? I have, not only do I have an anchor, but I have this turbo thing called the Word that tells me I'm the head and not the tail, tells me I'm above and not beneath, tells me I'm a success and not a failure, tells me that by the favor of God, I am what I am. This thing is bigger than I am. This thing is like you imagine Junior behind you, pushing you from behind. How fast would you go and how unstoppable would you be? And that's exactly what it's like with the Word on our side. As long as we side with the Word. Let the Word of God, the Bible says, dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. And this is the thing, right? Cultural change begins at the altar of God, okay? That scripture, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. Stand to your feet. I want us to thank God for his word, but I want us to close our eyes and to right now just picture what kind of boxes the devil has tried to squeeze us into. And I want you to purpose in your heart right now that you will break out of those boxes. Boxes aren't for us. There's something in this year of new beginnings that God wants you to achieve. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we lift your word to you today and we thank you so much that you for the number of boxes that you have delivered us from. We are no longer bound by our upbringing. We are no longer bound by our ethnicity. We are no longer bound by our postcode or our zip code. We are no longer bound by what's in our bank account or what isn't in our bank account. We are no longer bound by anything except the limitations of your word, Heavenly Father. We refuse to be bound by any other thing than your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you truly are pushing us forward. You are behind us and pushing us forward. Thank you, wonderful Spirit of God, We give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it, Lord God. Show us, Heavenly Father, the boxes to bust out of in this year of new beginnings, Lord God, because we are yours. We are called by your name. We give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.